Hello, welcome to DriveCast. This is Ed Travers, teaching pastor at LifePoint in Westerville. This past Sunday, we continued in our series, Asking for a Friend, where we're going to ask the questions that everyone really wants to know the answers to, but we're a little uncomfortable asking. And in this series, we're looking at how God really brings answers to life's toughest questions. He gives answers that we don't always want to hear, but they're definitely the right ones. In the series, we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me read a little bit of the text we looked at. Verse 9, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. This is Paul writing to the Corinthian church. And understand the context. In Corinth, it was a major Greek city. They had a temple there to Aphrodite, where they had a lot of prostitution taking place, male and female prostitutes. And it was normal to go up there and, you know, celebrate to that god. Also in Greek culture, they taught and believed that the body was bad and the soul was good. And that, you know, what you do in your body doesn't matter. It only matters what you do in your soul. So in essence, Paul is saying to these, you know, Corinthians, hey, you can't live like a Corinthian. Corinthians believe a certain thing, and that's not okay. Don't be deceived that this lifestyle is what you used to be. You used to be these things, you know, someone who is sexually immoral, which basically means any sex outside of marriage. You would be idolaters. You don't celebrate other gods. You don't go to temples for other gods. You're not adulterers. You're not men who practice homosexuality. Thieves or greedy people who are addicted to alcohol. Revilers, which means people who go around and slander others or sell gossip, that kind of stuff. Or even swindlers. You take advantage of others in your business practices. So why would he have to tell them don't be deceived? Why would he tell these people that? If they're believers, they understand what righteousness is, that it comes from Christ. We understand that we're all sinners and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. It's our sin that separates us. We are not right with God. We are not righteous in and of ourselves. The gospel means that we are righteous. He gives us his righteousness based on what he did on the cross. We all get that. So if he's talking to believers who know that, why would he have to tell them, don't be deceived? Well, there were people who were deceived. They started to believe that Greek philosophy that, well, if Jesus saved my soul, doesn't matter what happens with my body. I'm not under the law anymore. I can do whatever I want. You know, I'm not going to be held accountable to it because Jesus paid for my soul and my soul's going to be with God. You see how the deception works? You can do any of these things, any of them. Doesn't matter. And Paul's saying, no, that's ridiculous. You know better. You were brought to God. You were sanctified in him. You were washed in him. You were justified in him. You can't live that life. So then what's the question for today? Is it possible we could be deceived? Well, I'm assuming yes, because if these were believers who were being deceived by the world, then the same thing happens to us. And you don't have to be very wise to recognize that our world is going in a different direction. The reason Christians look so backwards is because we literally are going in a different direction from the world. The world is trying to tell you it's all okay. There's nothing wrong. There's no right or wrong. It's just your truth. And so whatever you feel inside, whatever your craving is, then that's you know, as long as you're not hurting someone else, it's good. Take it. Run with it. It's just like any other craving. You crave steak, you eat steak. You crave sex, you have sex. It doesn't matter as long as you're not hurting anyone. That's our culture. And on top of that, you have people who parade as Christian leaders who try to make it okay, particularly with homosexuality. There's a whole movement saying that, you know, that the word, you know, the Bible never says that, you know, it's wrong, it's a sin. Well, I got to tell you, even in this text alone, there are two words used there for homosexuality. And it's very clear this is homosexuality. There's no other way to interpret it. This is the effeminate of taking and the masculine of giving in male sex. It's very, very clear. So then why would people say that? Well, it's because sin is in us. Those cravings are in us. And what Paul is saying is that, look, if that's your life, if that defines you, if you don't have a problem with this, then there's a good chance you are not one of his. Because the synonymous with someone who's followers of Christ is that they can't tolerate sin. Doesn't mean they don't sin. Every one of us is a sinner. John himself said, and he who says he doesn't sin is a liar. but he is faithful and true to forgive our sins when we come to him. So then the only question is, well, what do we do with our sin? Well, we can't be deceived in believing it's okay. We go to God, we cooperate with his work in our life, and then he sanctifies us. He makes us more and more like him. Where do we take our sinful cravings and our brokenness? We take it to the cross. God, I pray that you help us to live a life that reflects your glory and your honor. God, all of us deal with sin in some way, shape, or form. We all have different sin issues and cravings that kind of go in a different direction. God, they're all the same. They're all an offense to you. God, help us to live a life according to your gospel. Forgive us and help us to walk with you. God, give us the love and grace that you have towards others, that we would treat them with dignity and with the value that you've given to us, to give them all of the grace that you have, seasoned with the truth of your gospel. And we ask this in your son's name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for listening in today. Take a second and pray before you move on about the way this hits your life. Till next time, God bless.